My grandfather told this story. I can't say it's true, but I know that certain aspects of it are. So it's possible that it happened just the way he told it. My grandparents, Fred and Sophie, had an 80-acre farm in northern Wisconsin. Fred acquired the land after it was clear-cut over 100 years ago. As a young man, he traveled around North America and had many adventures, such as panning for gold in Alaska, waiting on tables in San Francisco, and having little success as a prize fighter in Chicago. At that point, weary of his itinerant lifestyle, and not a city boy, he was lured to northern Wisconsin by the offer of very cheap land. Once he had met, then married the neighbor's daughter, my grandmother, he was set for life as a farmer, eventually owning a couple horses, a few cows and pigs, some chickens, and very poor, sandy, agricultural land. One fall day in the early 1930s, while he was out in the field, a large dark car came speeding down the two-lane road. Not far from where he stood, that fancy car, something seldom seen in this rural setting, slowed to a stop. Three men got out, and after looking under the hood of the car, they happened to notice my grandfather. They walked over to him and asked him for some help. Well, he never owned a motorized vehicle his entire life, but he offered to give them a hand. He used his draft horse to pull the car down the side road and into his barn. He had a neighbor, Harold, who owned a car and a tractor and was quite a handy mechanic. So while Fred took off to get Harold, the three men were invited into the tiny farmhouse where Sophie had just baked a couple of pies and she brewed a fresh pot of coffee on the kitchen wood stove. The men were entertained by the four kids and were pleasant, although anxious to be on their way. My grandfather finally returned with Harold, who, before long, realized that they needed a part such as a distributor, and he took off to town with one of the men to see if they could find one. My grandparents spent a few hours with the other two men who said they were from Chicago and on vacation, although it was well past tourist season. They weren't exactly dressed like folks on vacation, and they were pretty hazy when talking about where they were headed or what their plans were. My grandparents, being good Midwesterners, weren't about to pry beyond making friendly conversation. The men sat down to a dinner of venison and garden-grown mashed potatoes and beans. Afterwards, my grandfather enjoyed one of their fancy cigars, a rare treat for a poor farmer who was lucky to have some cheap tobacco for his pipe every now and then. Well, in time, Harold was able to get their car running, and before dark, the men were back on the road. They gave Harold a wad of cash for all his troubles. When they offered my grandparents the same for their hospitality, they'd have nothing of it, even though they could have used it with their cash-strapped livelihood. One of the men, the boss as he was described, insisted on giving my grandmother a ruby ring, which he said wasn't worth much, but was a small token of his gratitude. My grandmother's eyes lit up when she saw the ring, never having anything like it, and I think my grandfather noticed this and didn't resist in accepting the gift. The men were pleased and took off, waving as they turned onto the side road, headed for the highway. Days later, gossip made it around that part of the country that John Dillinger, the infamous Chicago gangster, had been seen hiding out from law enforcement. My grandparents suspected that he was the one they'd helped that day. They feared that if it was known what they had done, that they too would be in trouble with the law. So they never mentioned it to a soul. A neighbor was headed to Milwaukee before Thanksgiving, and my grandparents gave him that ring to hawk at a pawn shop, afraid to hold on to it. When he returned with a substantial amount of folding money, the family was treated to one of the best Thanksgiving meals they'd ever had. and plenty was left over for Christmas gifts, the likes of which the kids had never seen or would ever see again. Years later, when they heard on their new radio that John Dillinger had been gunned down outside a movie theater in Chicago, they felt a bit sad. They weren't sure that he was the one they'd helped that day, but they figured that everyone has a good side. Maybe the good side of the infamous gangster, the FBI's most wanted man, is what they experienced that Thanksgiving day.